The title of the sermon today is To Heal the Brokenhearted. And I wanted to bring this topic to you because of a number of reasons, but I've been personally learning some things and seeing that it's something that we all are learning, and what a blessing it is to have some of the things that God provides to us through Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to bring this topic so that we could be able to see more directly some of the amazing promises that God has given to us and how close they touch to our own lives. There's a prophecy in the book of Isaiah that is being fulfilled every day in your life and in my life. The prophecy is about God the Father sending the one who would become his son, Jesus Christ, and of the purposes for which he was sent. This prophecy and the fulfilling of it touches each one of us very personally and opens the way for us to have a spiritual relationship with God and with Christ. Listen to the beautiful words expressing this prophecy in the book of Isaiah in chapter 61. In my study for this, I spent a lot of time in Isaiah because he was inspired to write of these things in very direct ways and very beautifully and ways that are so inspiring and helpful to us. Here in chapter 61 of Isaiah, we get right to the point here. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And it goes on with some other things that were in the mission of Jesus Christ when he came to this earth. I wanted to take a little sidebar here and just mention that if we back up to the previous chapter in verse 22, we see that it is the Lord who is speaking. It says, "I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time." And then the very next verse comes in with the Lord speaking of the Lord God. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." I looked this up in the UCG Bible commentary, and in 2003, now 17 years ago, this is what we were preaching and teaching on this particular issue. And it matters because it follows through the rest of the message today. It says chapter 61 begins with the song of the Lord's anointed, and God was speaking in Isaiah 60, verse 22, and he is still speaking in the next verse, this chapter 61, verse 1. Yet he mentions another God here, another one who is God. This makes sense only when we understand that God the Father and Jesus Christ are both God. And we've seen that. It's been our consistent understanding of God's word for all the many years that I and many of you have been attending. And I just want to mention that because it helps us to have the foundation to build on. As I was meditating about this verse and this passage, related verses, and there are many in the scriptures, I began to understand more fully than when I was younger about how important the healing of our broken hearts is. There's something so very encouraging here going on and so necessary for each one of us. And it's one of the most important and powerful gifts of God that we receive from and through the work of Jesus Christ. I'd like to share with you today with the hope that you will be encouraged and strengthened and be able to be renewed with this kind of healing in your life too. Because God knows we all need this blessing, and this is one of the major reasons for which he sent his son, to heal the brokenhearted. And that's where we get the title for the message. I was studying a lot about this week, and this morning as I got up and began to finish my notes, I literally deleted 5 pages of my notes because it's such a big subject, and it's something that is so important. It touches us in many, many ways in our life. But Isaiah was writing of this from a prophetic point of view. It was yet to happen in the future. Let's turn then to the book of Luke and see it from the time that it began to be fulfilled very directly. In Luke 4, Luke 4, verse 16 through 21. And so he came to Nazareth. This was about a year after Jesus' ministry began. He'd been active in other areas around the north region, but here he was now back coming south again into Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And you can almost imagine and see this in the context of being there. And someone has this scroll and now finds this passage of scripture. In verse 18, then it begins to quote from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And again, you see Christ is here in person now, speaking of the Father's help and the Father giving him this mission to accomplish. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he begins to list some of the major purposes for which he was sent. I want to stop here and just help lay this foundation a little bit more solidly for us as we understand, because if we see this, the interaction between God our Father and between him and Jesus Christ and the work to be done, then will help us to really see the significance of what Christ was saying. So hold your place there, but let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. I want to talk here about the anointing of Christ, the commission given to him directly, and the authority to have this part of the work as his mission. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, I'll take my time to turn to these scriptures so that you have the time as well. Hebrews 5, verse 4, and so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And so we see this was a commission given to him, an anointing. And it was just as it was given to Aaron. And we can see that Aaron's anointing, and I'm going to skip through some of the notes here so we have more time for the meat of the matter that I want to bring to you. Aaron's anointing was described in Exodus 29 with the anointing oil being poured on his head. But in Acts chapter 10, we see this about Christ and his anointing. The reason this is important is to see that this is a very closely connected topic to the heart and mind and spirit of God and what he wants to give to his children. In Acts 10, verse 36 through 38, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That the word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so this topic we're talking about is central to the ministry of Jesus Christ, and specifically delegated to him by God. And this describes the anointing that was given. And you could read of those accounts when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him in a visible form in that way. Back to Luke 4 and verse 18. Again, I want to read this through at this point. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted And that's going to be our focus, but I want to read through because to get the context of some of the reasons. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. These are all major elements of his ministry. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. And some of these things kind of overlap in their significance. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he had their attention now. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And so here we see the beginning of the fulfillment of this in a very direct way between Jesus Christ now and those he came to heal, the brokenhearted people that he came to heal. And what a powerful thing that we see. The healing of our broken hearts is founded on the love and the work of God our Father and of Jesus Christ. And if we see this first, then that opens the door and the way forward for us to more easily receive this blessing from God that he so very much wants to give to us. And so let's look more closely at this then today. This phrase, to heal the brokenhearted, here in the book of Luke, it's not in the manuscripts, but it is included in the King James Version and in the New King James Version and in other translations, and some leave it out. But Jesus was reading from the book of Isaiah, where it was written, and we know that it was there because we've seen it in that book already. In the book of in Vine's Expository Dictionary, this definition of brokenhearted is from the Greek word suntribo. It means to rub together, and so to shatter, to make shiver, to break in pieces by crushing. And these are just different ways of describing the effects of the feeling of a broken heart. By crushing it. It's metaphorically used in scripture of a brokenhearted person, as we've seen here in Luke, but it's also mentioned in a different way in Matthew to see how even a crushed reed would not be crushed. Let's turn to Matthew. And again, as we lay this foundation of what and why the healing of our broken hearts and how powerful this is and what a great and awesome blessing it really is. In Matthew 12, verse 18 through 21, it says, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased." And here he's quoting again from Isaiah, in chapter 42, and we'll read there too, but we want to read through this one first. He says here, "I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles." And so we're referring back now to the anointing of Christ to be the one to heal us in this way. He will not quarrel nor cry out. And we could look then at his example throughout all of his ministry and see and follow these things through as he fulfilled them. "Nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break." He would be so gentle in this way that we sometimes who can be as fragile as a bruised reed, he will not break. You know, he's very careful with us. "And smoking flax he will not quench." And so smoking flax is something that would be easy to put out if the ember is barely going, but he would not quench it. It would let that spark continue to burn and to be there and for that smoke to continue. And that way, and smoking flax is something that would be the beginning of a fire that you want to have, you know, that you would want to those embers to come to a fuller heat and make a fire that could do good. till he sends forth justice to victory. And these are all elements of how he heals, to give justice, to help us have victory over those things that have crushed us in our lifetime. And in his name, Gentiles will trust. The healing of a broken heart is bringing trust back again, and hope, and to bring those things that have been stripped away from us, from our trials or from whatever it is that has caused us to be in that way. My purpose today is to speak to you from my heart to yours, but more importantly, from God's heart to our hearts, about something that's so important and graciously given to each one of us because he knows our hearts need this kind of healing. As I was studying, I was realizing that healing on this level, the spiritual healing of our hearts, is something greater than the healing of our sicknesses and of our physical bodies. He came to heal us in our hearts, and there's such a great purpose for that. And I wanted to today just review with you some of those areas of scripture that show us how he did this, and how wonderfully he did, and how completely he has become our healer in these ways. We turn back to Isaiah 42. I want to read those passages, that passage there about the smoking reed, because if we see it as prophetic of Christ and then fulfilled, and then it helps us to trust and to believe and to have that faith to know that it really did happen, it really still is happening, that God cares this much for us. In Isaiah 42, verse 1 through 4, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights." And so again, we see this interaction between the Father and the one who is now Christ our Lord. "I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break." And I wanted us to see this in the Old Testament and the New, to see that it matters this much, that God inspired this to help his people from the time of Isaiah and onward. And then Christ showing us that from that time onward now to us, these things are true. And it speaks then again of the smoking flax that he will not quench, and he will bring forth justice and truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged. He's going to accomplish this work that he was given to do till he has established justice in the earth. And so he's still active in this and bringing it to pass, to accomplishing what God gave him. He knew that we would need this kind of healing. Our Father did, and Christ as well. In Isaiah 53, we read of this. If you think of it prophetically and realize how God knew we would need this help, he knew every one of us would need this kind of help in our lives. I want to read this chapter, most of it, and just let it sink into our minds and be written on our hearts, and these words then applying to us, each one individually. "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To us, to you and to me. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." And it begins to tell us of the life of Jesus Christ as a person in this world, and now as our King and High Priest, and as a root out of dry ground. And it describes here things that we might feel. Sometimes we might also have these same kinds of feelings in our lives. "For he has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him." He's sort of like us. You know, we could fade into the crowd, and he did often. says of him, he is despised and rejected by men. Now, he's describing here the feelings of a broken heart, isn't he? This is what Christ experienced so that he can help us to come through these kinds of trials too. And so he went through very much the same kind of things that we do. He says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We could pray to him now and say, this situation, this thing I'm going through, this is really grievous to me. And he knows and understands because he's been through these kinds of things. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Sometimes we could be distant, and sometimes we could just neglect to come to him and to seek this help from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. It's describing here the reactions of most of the people around him during his lifetime. But brethren, these are things that apply to all ages, to us too. Surely he has borne our griefs. Absolutely he knows what it feels like. And he's experienced things that you and I would cringe at. He has carried our sorrows. What we're seeing here prophetically is how Jesus Christ accomplished this work of healing the brokenhearted by going through these things himself and feeling them as a human being and showing us the way to cope with them and to come through those difficult trials of life. Since he was smitten by God and afflicted, God knew that in order for us to be healed, it had to be by the stripes of Christ. And this is applying in a spiritual sense as well as a physical sense. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And so when we talk about healing our broken hearts, we're talking about what Jesus Christ did for us so that we could have this blessing. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And so this is a message for us all, you and me and everyone else. We have turned away, everyone, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when our hearts ache, when we feel that broken feeling, then we can and should come to him. I'm going to let you read the rest of that chapter. It's so beautiful the way it describes his work. That he knew when he inspired this, that we would definitely need this kind of help and healing. And God sent him to bring it to us. And he knew this when he inspired in the psalm. I want to read a few of the psalms. Again, my purpose of this part of the message is to help us to see in the scriptures God's care and attention for us, his desire that we be blessed in this amazing way to have these kinds of helps in our life. In Psalm 147, verse 1 through 3, praise the Lord. And I hope as we come to the end of this message and it sinks in and we go home and we have another week and a month and a year, that we could start our prayers this way, to praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. And so what we're looking at brings this kind of result where we now can see the closeness of being near God and having the blessing that he gives to us. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The wounds of a broken heart are real. Sometimes we can't see them. From our point of view as a physical human being looking at other physical human beings, and we can't sometimes describe our own wounds. but they're there and they're real, and God knew they would be, and he sent Christ to heal them. Those kind of wounds. And what a blessing it is for us that we have a God who understands this. I think this is where I began to understand this subject a little more, this last number of days and weeks, when I began to realize that sometimes people are describing their wounds. They're saying when they interact, and you wonder why are they coming from that direction. And you realize later, if you back off, and I try to do this, and I hope to do it more, I learned something recently that I hope will help me to serve you better. I learned that sometimes, because I studied this, I prayed about it, I read these verses and realized that these wounds are real and God wants to heal us. And if we can be patient with each other and realize that he's working with every one of us, then we can respond more like Christ did when he dealt with people. That's what I'm trying to do. But these kinds of wounds are real, just as a physical wound is real. One time when I'd not yet met Nancy, it was the summer before we met, and I was working as a logger in the woods, cutting big trees, you know, big ones. And one day I had an accident, and I cut my kneecap in half with a chainsaw. I was wounded in the woods with no one around me. And I had to find my way down to our truck and call for help. And others who were in the woods as well could finally come to me and help. But you know what wounds are like too. We're talking of real things that hurt. Well, these kinds of wounds in our heart are just as real. And sometimes when we feel the effects of them, we could maybe lash out at others around us. You know, when we hurt, we get grumpy sometimes. And if we can sometimes just back off and say, what is it that this person really needs right now? And then we can help each other. And I could say so much more, but I just want to keep the focus on Christ and what he is doing. God is there, and Christ as well. And we could read in the scriptures that God inspired about how he healed others whose hearts were broken. Look in Psalm 56. To me, these were encouraging, inspiring to know that God is there to watch out for us. In Psalm 56, verse 8 through 11, and David is writing here, wait, it might not be David in this psalm, I was just looking. Verse 8, you number my wanderings. And so sometimes when we're wandering around in our life, we're not on a straight and narrow path, but we're wandering here and there. And God is aware, so you number my wanderings. And it's probably in some way a record that he knows you've had this path on your life, your journey. Put my tears into your bottle. And when we sometimes cry out, and we might not feel that God is close, but he sees and feels those tears. So you put my tears into, it's a figurative way of saying, I really need help. You know, literally crying out, and my tears are there. Are they not in your book? You read of other places where God keeps a record of our lives and for a good purpose, to know how he can help us. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. What a great blessing that is. God is for us. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You see that trust? Because sometimes when our hearts are broken, we find it difficult to trust other people. And sometimes it's a broken heart from another direction, but often we lose that ability to trust. And here we're seeing it's restored. It can be restored. This is part of healing, to learn to trust again, to trust God and to trust Jesus Christ and to trust those who can help us, who have his Holy Spirit, to trust eventually to be able to come back to being healed and having these good relationships restored. So I love verses like this to see that personal care with us, and even as we wander around in our lives. And God was so aware of David that he figuratively collected his own tears, put them in a bottle. And he does similar things for us. In Psalm 69, a couple verses here, verse 9 and verse 20. Verse 9 says, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. I pick this area because sometimes the cause of a broken heart is that we've been reproached. And most of us have probably felt this, you know, where someone we thought was for us wound up doing something or saying something that was not so good for us. And God knew that we would feel these ways too. And so he inspired these words by David and others through the scriptures to show us he's there in these kinds of times. He can bring us through those. This verse is prophetic of Jesus Christ. And I keep going to connect us to show that he understands these things because he was reproached too. This verse is quoted in John chapter 2 and verse 17. And again, it shows that understanding of Christ with David had this experience and was inspired to write of it. And Christ also used those same words to say, I understand, I know. It's the way I can help. When he was cleansing the temple, he quoted this verse. And it says, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. And again, we see he understands. We see he knows what it's like. In verse 20, it says, reproach has broken my heart. And again, I chose this because it's so direct to the point here. And I am full of heaviness. Have you ever felt that? Or known people who have felt that way? Yes, of course. We've seen that. We felt it. I looked for someone to take pity. There are times when we just need a friend to talk to. We need someone who will understand and not commiserate, but actually help us. There was none. And so when people feel alone, when people feel there's no one around to help them, it deepens that wound. It deepens the feeling. But Christ is there to heal it and to bring it back so it's completely well. And for the comforters, he said, but I found none. That's a hint there of where we wind up in the message, to be able to be there for someone to help them and to encourage them. And again, just to see, turn to Romans chapter 5. I'd like to connect the Old and New Testaments in these areas where we can learn of God's awareness and also of his action. In Romans 15, verse 3 and 4, when Paul is writing about bearing the burdens of one another, says, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." He knows. He knows the depth of feeling in his heart. "For whatever things were written before, the things that David wrote, things that others wrote as well, they were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." To bring back that hope. And that's so critical to our spiritual health and well-being, is to have hope. To have understanding that there's a better day coming, a future that is much better than the present that we're in. How can we receive this awesome blessing? And we could cover so many other areas of Scripture to show the greatness of that blessing, but how can we receive it? And there are many ways in the Scripture. I just picked a couple here to show today. How he heals the brokenhearted. In Psalm 34, in verse 18, sometimes when we feel alone is when we realize eventually that God is there. He always is, always has been. Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart." It's so clear when you understand that he sent his son to heal those who have a broken heart. He cares. He wants to heal. He knows we need it, and he is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. And that leads us, the contrite spirit part, because sometimes there's something we can do, and sometimes there's something we need to do. Is when we're in those kinds of days of our life when we feel these things and these pressures, and if we can realize that God is near us, and then we can look and see how he's helped in the past, and that these things that help other people will help us too. This is how God works. And again, you see very clearly in Psalm 51. And I'm just hinting at some things that we could all study more clearly. And I know that we all feel these things in different ways. And your life is different than mine. Your experiences, your reasons for needing this healing is different than mine. But we all need it. In Psalm 51, verse 17, David wrote, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." Note, he didn't say a broken heart. He said a broken spirit. The broken spirit helps us to draw nearer to God. That contrite heart, that contrite spirit, that helps us then to stop going further down in our woundedness and now come back up in the healing that God is giving to us. A broken and contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. And so sometimes and often it is, the path forward is the path upward. It's turning and looking up to God and coming to this level of repentance as David did. And I know there are many other reasons for a broken heart too. It's not that every broken heart is because that person sinned. It could be because a child died. It could be because a parent died and you wish they didn't. It could be for any other number of reasons. But since God sent Christ to heal the brokenhearted, we can come to him for that blessing. Let's turn to Matthew 11, where Christ tells us this. In Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. "Come to me," he says. He who was sent to heal our broken hearts, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that's what we need. This is how he heals, how he accomplishes that work that he was given to do. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We can learn from his words, we learn from his example, we can follow in his footsteps, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And what a blessing that is, that he comes to us and says, come to me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find that rest. He will heal, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He tells us how to do it. When we come to him, we draw near to him. We draw near to God again. So many verses were coming to mind as I read this, and I hope that you will see some too. For me, one of the keys is this. In my life, it was in Paul's life, and maybe it is in yours. And so in Philippians 3, verse 8 through 14, Paul is writing of his own experiences here and what he found worked for him. He says in verse 8, but indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And you could go back through the history of Paul's life and say that must have been hurtful to him when that happened. And when he gave up his future that he had been planning and working toward, and when he did all of those things, he knows too what it means. And to be found in him, in Christ, Christ who said, come to me, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. These are deep things to understand, to know that we're not going to be able to come to heal ourselves, basically. In my study, I went through some of the self-help information that's available out on the internet. I just looked up some of the keywords in my study. And you see how oblivious people are to the fact that God is there to help and that we need him for our healing, and it's not something we can do for ourselves. And Paul was writing in this way of these things too. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to his death. You know, the healing comes through him because he has been given the power to heal. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, to eternal life, to have the blessing of the healing forever. And verse 12, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, and we could say today, this week, this month, we're still taking steps forward, but I press on. We're getting to a point that I think will help many of us. If we can see what Paul is writing and apply it in our own life, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to have attained that goal yet, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So if we have that forward-looking zeal to keep pressing forward and onward, and sometimes we have to literally just leave the past behind. We can't fix by looking backwards what happened a long time ago. And maybe it was something that was so real, it hurt so badly, we just can't seem to let it go. But Christ can heal it completely. When he heals it, when he heals our hearts, he can heal them to the point where it turns from all of that feeling to help us to be able to believe and to hope and to trust and to love and to have again those things that are so important in a Christian's life. And without them, we're just not healed yet. We need those things. And Paul tells us to go forward. Let some of those things go that have been so destructive in our lives. And I'm talking to myself. And at least two people hearing this know that I'm talking to myself. We have to let some of those hurtful things go, because it wouldn't change things for the good if we could prove ourselves to be innocent of false charges or anything else. If we could, we can't undo what's been done. You know, once lightning strikes a tree, the tree has been hit. You know, the scar is there. And the tree either keeps growing or it dies. And we're called trees of the Lord. And sometimes we have to just keep growing, be healed by God through Jesus Christ. This message started with God's love for us and Christ's love for us. Now let's turn our thoughts just briefly toward others around us, because maybe this is the most important part of the message for us. We can help others along their path toward healing of their broken hearts, to realize that we're not the only ones. But once we've been helped, once we've received God's blessing of healing, we can pass it on. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. This will be something that will help our congregations so very much. In the 5 years I've been here, I can tell you that if and as and when we apply this, we bring good to other people. And I hope that we'll see it and do it more and more. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble." Their broken hearts are just hurting and aching, and they need some comforting and help. They need someone to listen. They need someone to literally step in and do something to help them. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And this healing of our hearts is something that we can help pass on to others. He does the work, but we can be there to bring that blessing to others too. And it goes on with the teaching of that. But if we reach out to others, we're going to be able to step into those footsteps of Jesus Christ and to help others to receive that blessing for which he was sent. Our hearts, brethren, are the field in which the seed of the kingdom is sown. Our heart is the dwelling place of Christ in us. Our heart is where God places his Holy Spirit. We are to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. I'm just listing out a few of the many beautiful verses that show why it's so important to have a heart that's healed, so that we can more fully receive these blessings and be fully growing toward the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was sent to heal the brokenhearted.